Royal Queen Seeds Interviews.
Welcome to another episode of the Royal Queen Seed Interviews. Today, we're debunking cannabis myth with Tammy Pettigrew, aka Cannabis Cutie. Tammy is a cannabis educator, advocate, and public speaker based in California. Her goal is to shed light on this plant and educate people on how it can improve their life. Welcome, Tammy, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here and speak with you.
Oh, that's amazing. How's your day been so far?
It's been good. I had a lot of traveling this week, and my schedules and everything kind of were everywhere, but today is starting to feel normal again.
Oh, that's great. It's so nice to have you here today. So today we ask you to help us really debunking some popular myths about cannabis. So the first one is, why do some people refer to stoners as lazy, the classic smoker, couch potato, you know, stereotype?
You know, the prohibitionists here in America definitely like to use that as a form of control and getting people to not use cannabis.
Yeah.
But I believe the origins of that came from Mexicans.
Okay.
When the Mexican Revolution happened in 1910, 1911, we had a lot of refugees coming from south of the border into America. And with them, they brought cannabis that they were using to smoke instead of the typical candies or tincture form that you could buy in your pharmacy cabinet at home. So the media did a really good job at convincing well-doing Americans that this plant was making them lazy, like these Mexicans, which is quite hilarious because in America, Mexicans typically do laborious work in high heat temperature. So the origins came from xenophobia towards Mexicans, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's really interesting, actually. And the second myth is, does holding a hit of weed smoke makes you higher?
That is a myth. Holding in smoke makes you lightheaded due to a lack of oxygen.
Yeah.
You really only need to inhale it so it touches those receptors, take it as deep as possible, and then exhale. Holding it in does not benefit your high or your lungs at all.
Like at all, in the slightest. Okay, that was a myth because, you know, growing up, they were always like, yeah, hit it, you know, like hold it, and then it will hit higher, but no, that's not true. Thank you so much, Tammy. What would you say to people who think cannabis is a highly addictive substance?
I would say that there's a difference between chemical dependence and just addiction. So chemical dependence like nicotine, what is in crack and methamphetamines and heroin, those are things that are going to, your brain is going to be addicted to within a week, even some pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
It's going to alter your brain and cause dependence. Now, people can become addicted to cannabis, but not in the same way. It's kind of an addiction in the same way that we get addicted to chocolate or fast food or soda or bad relationships.
Yeah.
It just kind of becomes a bad habit. So although there is no such thing as like cannabis addiction the way that nicotine is or pharmaceuticals can be, you can have cannabis use disorder, which could be a dependence issue.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And this one is kind of a myth that I think our parents' generation kind of threaten us with, and is marijuana a gateway drug?
Oh no, I would say the gateway drug would be alcohol.
Yeah.
Cannabis is actually a really effective exit drug as well. If you have somebody who is dependent on pharmaceuticals, recreational drugs, or alcohol, getting them off of that without severe withdrawals is something that cannabis absolutely aids in. But most people that I know that consume cannabis and are high level functioning are healthy. They're not trying anything else that's harming their body, nor do they have any interest in it. So that's, again, something that the prohibitionists use to deter children and people from using cannabis.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of parents, should we speak to them about weed or about us smoking weed?
You know, I think that the best way to help destigmatize this plant is talking to your loved ones. And I think parents are a great place to start, especially with a lot of us. Our parents are getting older and they're taking more medicines. They're feeling more pain. They have more ailments. I think talking to them about this non-toxic alternative is a very important discussion that we should have as stoners, cannabis users, I definitely talked to my parents about it. I have one that will only do topicals and the other one that will only do CBD, but that's such a great start. And so I absolutely believe that we should be talking to our parents.
Yeah. And what about parents who smoke pot? Can you talk us a little bit about the stigma of, you know, like just parenting and cannabis as well?
So I'm actually a mom of two.
Yeah.
And for me, I remember I was doing a live in my backyard, middle of the day. It was like a Galentine's thing. And I had a glass of champagne and I had a joint and I hid the joint, but not the champagne.
Yeah.
And I had to have like a come to Jesus moment. I'm like, wait, one of these things is harming my body and the other one is aiding in its healing. So that was kind of for me a wow moment. And I felt that I needed to talk to my kids about this before they went to school and they received all of the lies around the plant, which is just basically a form of control from our government.
Yeah.
And there's also been studies here in America, I believe out of the state of Colorado, that showed that parents are actually, whenever they're able to consume, they're way more engaged with their children, interested in watching TV shows, playing games. They have reduced levels of stress, which a happy mom is much better for children than a stressed out, anxious, depressed mom. So I believe that the stigma there needs to change. If moms are allowed to be cool and be wine moms, moms and dads should be able to smoke a joint and still be considered good parents.
Yeah, absolutely. And what do you think about the millennials' influence on ending the stigma around cannabis? You know, taking it to social media and just kind of spreading a little bit more both kind of side of the story about cannabis?
I think the impact is huge. I mean, they're showing also the Zillennials and Generation Z the health benefits. And then we're also modeling to the people that came before us that were kind of raised on the propaganda that, hey, you've been misinformed and misled. I'm showing you that I'm consuming cannabis. I'm still successful. Everything in my life has not fallen apart the way that you were believed to think so. So I think the millennials kind of stepping into this and taking on the reins of hopefully ending prohibition has been quite important and a huge turning point, I think, for legalization to come.
Yeah. And obviously it's our age generation that kind of shifted from alcohol to cannabis. And do you see this a lot in like in your area in the States? Because here in Europe is always, we always come a little bit later. So for us, alcohol seems to be still the major, you know, like outlet, like the after work outlet. Yeah. How's that in America?
You know, in America, there is a new trend called being Cali sober.
Okay.
And that just means that you consume cannabis and maybe other natural modalities like psilocybin.
Yeah.
But you kind of stay away from drugs, which alcohol would be classified under a drug. So I do know that my generation, we're kind of getting away from that. Colleges and universities are a huge market for big alcohol in America.
Yeah.
They're consuming, binging it pretty much every weekend. So I like to see that movement and that trajectory of, hey, we're done putting these foreign substances in our body that do more harm than good. And we're definitely open to consuming vegetables and having fun in doing so.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's such a cool trend as well. I like the name.
Yeah.
And why do you think cannabis is not yet legal worldwide?
There are so many interests that would be affected if cannabis was to legalize worldwide. In America, we have to deal with, if we decided to legalize cannabis, now prisons are going to lose a lot of revenue because in America, slavery is legal. If you're imprisoned, they can make you work for free without benefits, without workers' comp, without days off, and then they can pay you 20 cents on the hour to work for them. You also have law enforcement budgets that will be affected because they get to keep the money that they seize, and it's tax-free. You have big pharma who would be affected, big alcohol who would be affected. So it's really just money. And then if you think of the hemp plant and all of the products that it can replace, it's just a huge threat to so many industries. So I think that's a big part of as to why they're keeping it illegal. They haven't quite figured out how to replace the profits.
Yeah.
And until they can do that, I think that we're still going to have this issue.
Oh, okay, that's an interesting take to look mm-hmm. at the kind of revenue instead of, you know, just the scientific part of it. And mm-hmm. do you think legalizing pot will cause more drugs to be legalized?
Yeah, I definitely think it will. It's kind of already started happening with psilocybin. But I think what we're having is kind of an awakening to why are we controlling what people are doing to their own bodies? If somebody makes the conscious decision to want to do cocaine or crack, I think that's kind of their personal choice, just the same way it's somebody's personal choice to kind of eat fast food 7 days a week. You know, long term, both of these people could be impacting their families negatively. They could have premature deaths. A lot could go wrong and it could affect the generations below them. But we're not monitoring, you know, people's bad relationships, bad dietary choices. I don't think we need to be monitoring what they're doing in the privacy of their own homes, regardless if it's causing harm. So I think that's kind of a discussion that we need to have, is we have to kind of stop policing and criminalizing behaviors that we don't see as moral.
Yeah. And this is the last of our question before we dive into the audience one. And what are your, just personal to you, three main reasons cannabis should be legalized worldwide?
One reason why I believe cannabis should be legalized worldwide is because our planet is going through an environmental crisis.
Yeah.
And hemp could absolutely reduce the greenhouse effect and start to repair the damage that we've done to the soil, to the air, to our food, and give back birds the hemp seed and animals the hemp seed as well. Another reason is because we, again, cannot criminalize people's behavior and then profit off of their mistakes. I think that is completely immoral to say, hey, because you had possession of a joint the third time, you're now in prison for life and we can exploit you forever. And finally, it needs to be legalized to free all of the people who are locked up. It's just not fair. The mass incarceration that we have in the United States is akin to Jim Crow and slavery. Yeah. So that is kind of another reason, seeing so many people walk around with a label that affects them for the rest of their lives. You could get arrested at 18, but because you have this incarceration label, you don't have access to certain jobs, loans, education, voting, passports, so for the rest of your life. So yeah. I'd love to see the millions of Americans who have this label that's kind of reduced their place in society be lifted so that they can be empowered and take care of themselves again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And also just us in this, you know, not huge podcast, but still kind of giving it a voice and trying to reduce, you know, the stigma and just bringing it out there. I think just talking mm-hmm. about it, it's, you know, at least doing something, you know, like every little helps kind of thing, I yeah. think. And so thank you so much as well for that. And it's just not debunking, it's educating us every single day. So thank you for your activism that you do for us. And as always, we ask questions to the audience. So we had some interesting one and we picked three that we think can be helpful. So the first one is, does marijuana cause you to lose control or you are aware of what's happening around you? I think this is kind of like a bad trip situation.
You know, since everybody has a different body, everyone is going to react differently. Just like we have some friends that should probably never drink alcohol. And then we have friends that you can't even tell that they had four beers. Cannabis is definitely a unique experience. How you respond to one strain, your best friend may respond differently. So it all is trial and error. There's no definitive way to say without your own experience and journaling that experience. How did you feel before? How did you feel after? What were you trying to accomplish? Did you get that accomplished after your consumption? So it's definitely a case by case thing.
Yeah. Did you keep a journal when you were starting out?
Yes, I did. Probably not when I first started out, but I would say during COVID, I really started to think about some of the strains that I was using. And that's when I realized anything that's kind of labeled OG, my body seems to love for energy.
Yeah.
Yet the marketing says that it would put me to sleep. So,
I understand sometimes it's, I feel like I get so much different, you know, reaction than what I was expecting. So yeah, that's an interesting point.
Yeah.
And do you think when and if cannabis will be legalized, more people will use it?
Yeah, I think once the stigma is lifted, people are going to be more willing to try it just because they know they're not going to go to jail. I have a lot of friends that refuse to try the plant simply because of its legal status.
Yeah.
And because it's illegal, it's automatically wrong.
Yeah.
So once we take that away, I think a lot more people will be open to actually understanding that this is plant medicine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is the last debunk, I think, for today. And is, does long-term cannabis use reduce the IQ?
Oh, there have been studies into this, and the answer to that is no. I think IQ is kind of stable your whole life.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much that changes it, but no, cannabis does not reduce your IQ. If anything, for me, especially once I consume, my creativity goes up and my desire to kind of want to find out information also increases. And I definitely credit cannabis to a lot of the knowledge that I've desired to seek and actually followed through with, because again, it increased my creativity and desire. So I would say cannabis probably maybe helped my IQ,
yeah,
but there is no scientific evidence saying that it does reduce or increase.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So thank you for joining us today, and thank you for helping us debunking some myth. It was really a pleasure to have you on our podcast, Tammy, and we hope we can speak to you soon again.
Thank you for having me, and I'd love to come back.
Thank you so much. Bye, Tammy.
Bye.
And thank you for tuning in. You can listen to all of our podcasts on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can also find us on social media at Royal Queen Seeds RQS. We will see you next time.
Royal Queen Seeds Interviews.